Yeah, and I'm sobering up too, so that's good. So, oh, hey, everyone, welcome. Stunt Granny Audio 1121. This is Jeremy. Joining me is Chris this week. Kevin is off on his familial duties again, which sounds far more sexual than it was intended, but that's what he's doing. What's going on, man?
Not a heck of a lot. Not a heck of a lot. How about yourself?
Just got out. Decided to go out on a Tuesday night like adults.
Oh, that's always good to go.
No.
No, it's not.
It's always a good idea.
Tuesday's not the new Thursday.
Man, when you work from home, every day is your day. Like, you know, as long as you don't have like a meeting to call, no one knows. Yeah. If you don't have like quotas or quality assurance or any of that stuff, do whatever you want.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't have much of a problem going out on the weekday. I don't got to go anywhere. I can perform the function of my job. I don't really get hung over. I can't remember the last time I got really hung over. It's probably been at least a good 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been that short or that long, but it's definitely just something I don't do, which I'm the only one in this household that partakes in that, because I spend many of Sundays or Saturdays by myself. while you hear another man in the house throwing up, and I don't live with another man, so it's brutal.
No, my God, no, yeah, no,
we started dating, and that was one of the scariest things. She used to get ripped, and it's violent, and I was like, "Are you okay?" Like her roommate. I actually asked her if she needed to be like go to the doctor or the hospital. It's rough. And then she takes a shower, goes back to sleep, comes out, and she's fine. Like nothing happened.
Yeah.
She's a mutant. I married a mutant. So, which is probably already someone could tolerate me this long. every day at least. Anyways, we're here to talk about wrestling, not this stuff. So.
We are?
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
You know. It's our show. We can talk about wrestling if we want. Oh, by the way, before we get into that, have you heard of this movie, Song Sung Blue?
I have heard of it.
Do you know what it's about?
I know they filmed a lot of it. What?
Do you know what it's about?
It's about, what is it, like the last performance of like a Neil Diamond tribute band. It's a very Wisconsin story. They filmed all over the Milwaukee area. I know that. And yeah.
It's not a movie about Neil Diamond. Let's just get this.
I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he's not playing. Yeah. Hugh Jackman is not playing Neil Diamond. No.
What? Okay. You know, they keep complaining that no one's going to the movies, right?
Yeah.
Like all these movies keep bombing. If it's not Wicked or some sort of Disney cartoon that's already had a predecessor, it's just not making money. But yet, they're throwing money out to films about, not Neil Diamond, a Neil Diamond cover band. Holy shit. I could not, when I saw the preview originally, I went, Hugh Jackman's not even trying to look like Neil Diamond. Like, it's not even an attempt. And my buddy Jonathan goes, well, he's not trying to. And I was like, huh? It's supposed to be about a Neil Diamond like tribute group or cover. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. That's a lie. And sure enough, they've probably spent $50 million on a movie about a Neil Diamond cover band.
Well, you know what? We need more original movies, don't we?
Not like this. No.
Oh, come on.
No. This is stupid. There's a reason no one goes to this stuff. Like that Bruce Springsteen movie, that bombed too. What a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
No one was going to go see that either. It's just amazing to me, like what the movies have become.
Yeah, the Smashing Machine. What's the one with Sydney Sweeney about the female boxer? Yeah, none of those, all those bombs.
I didn't even know that was a movie until people were making fun of it that it bombed. And I went, wait, what? I don't know where the promotion for these movies are. Now, Smashing Machine I saw because of wrestling. You know, it was on, like, every commercial break, it seemed. Outside of that, I really don't know how many people saw it or even knew what the hell it was about.
Other than
Rock looking like an absolute animal. Like, he looked otherworldly for that movie.
He did. Oh, that was terrible. I mean, he's playing someone he looks nothing like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just.
And now he doesn't. Yeah. Now he doesn't, and everyone thinks he's sick. It's like, no, he's probably back down to his normal weight. Good Lord. But anyways, since we brought up The Rock, I don't know where to start with WWE this week. We can talk about Raw, but I also remembered that leaked emails and text messages have shown that Vince McMahon was clearly in charge of creative in 2023.
I think we already kind of knew that.
Yeah. It didn't
because
seem like a surprise.
There was always a story that Vince was at Gorilla running the Raw the night after WrestleMania 39 in Philadelphia, in L.A., and it was one of the worst shows that ever. I don't even remember what was on it, what was so bad about it, but yeah. No, I mean, there's obviously businessy stuff that I don't completely understand going on here, but I do understand the primary argument that Vince went with TKO in a no cash swap, you know, merger situation that was supposed to put him back in charge.
Yeah.
So the shareholders made $0 and zero. The WWE shareholders made $0 and 0 cents on that sale. When usually when a company is sold, your top shareholders are able to cash out for millions.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen here. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I guess I'm not even sure if it's going to have any real effect on WWE product or UFC or anything like that.
I wouldn't expect the product to suffer, no. But
well, according to some people, the product's already suffering.
Well, I mean, we can't say that 2025 was exactly a banner year.
No, we talked about it all last week. Obviously, we.
So
no. It was not a banner year again. Not a banner year. But everything in the last week of this of 2025 was to set up essentially the first. I guess we would call it the first full week of 2026.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a big championship match headlining both Raw and SmackDown on the 5th and the 9th.
Yes.
The first 3-hour SmackDown is this Friday. I guess it's going to feature the final match between Damian Priest and Aleister Black.
Looks we'd hope, yes.
I hope so. So, I was thinking that they're going to make that episode, the first 3-hour episode, and the first episode of the year for SmackDown a big one, but no, it's the tape show for Berlin, Germany that only Netflix viewers get to watch live if they so choose on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. And what foreign country will you be watching from?
Probably Canada. I usually watch my stuff through Canada. Mexico can be a little dicey with the connection, which I thought was like, all right, whatever. But yeah, no, Toronto, Canada has been a blessing. So, yes. But, this week, especially for Raw, they set up 3 matches that made that they all of them seem important as well.
They did. They really
for the first time in a while.
I did not really expect the two women's matches to get as much attention as they did. So that was actually refreshing.
Are you thinking that these are going to be the only 3 matches?
No, I mean that first. It's because it's not going to be the first Raw on Netflix with all the Gaga and there only being I think 4 matches in total. I don't think we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be more of a normal show. I think some big stuff's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to cut you off for a second. It's not going to be a normal show because this is the Stranger Things themed show.
And yeah, I have no idea what that means. And at least it's something that's actually popular, for God's sake. So at least we're not kissing some, I don't even know, like some weird streamer that no one that no one our age knows who the fuck they are.
yeah, exactly. Like there's some Hispanic guy that has been dabbing up everybody, in the audience, and I'm like, I have no idea who this is. They introduced, I think was at AAA first. Then he was at SmackDown, then he was at Raw. I'm like, I don't know who this is.
Oh, they keep doing that stuff. The, you know, Latin Grammy nominated. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. One, who cares? Like, outside of people in the industry, does the general populace actually care about any of this stuff anymore? I know the ratings draw millions of people, right? So someone, I guess, cares enough to watch. But it seems like every one of these award shows is so passe now.
I think we've gotten there.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of adults patting themselves on the back for just a nonsensical award to begin with. So I've had this argument plenty of times, and I'm always right. It makes no sense. This is the best movie of the year. Well, says who?
The Academy.
Like, you guys? Like, oh, here's a bunch of shit you've never seen. You're not going to be interested in watching, but they have great performances. And I'm like, I guess. I don't know. And they're like, best director. Well, I didn't direct the same movie. This doesn't make any sense. Best actor. We didn't have best actress supporting all that. We didn't act in the same roles. This doesn't make any sense. It's just stupid. Ugh. Anyways, getting back to wrestling. That's my only concern is next week is going to have the Stranger Things tie-in. And it's just going to be like, oh boy. Like, I don't know, The Miz fighting a bunch of Gorgons or something. For those who watch Stranger Things. Or Demigorgons, excuse me.
Yeah.
So, or someone like, or Vecna showing up and be like, you know, I don't know. I would hope that that's not the case, but I guess all those years of Vince being in charge of stuff really makes you like, oh, hey, I don't know about this, man. I really don't know about this.
I mean, at least this is something where the tie-in is actually maybe could help WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not WWE partnering with someone who they're bigger than.
Oh, which very is true.
Like, which when they bring in Schultz, the comedians like Schultz and Hinchcliffe, it's like WWE is more famous than these two guys. More people watch WWE have ever watched anything these guys have ever done. At least in my thoughts, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right. I remember Andrew Schultz as just a comedian. And then for him to become what he is now, even Tony Hinchcliffe, like, how did these guys get to where they are, to where they're in, like, the public, like, was it the zeitgeist? Is that what it's called?
Zeitgeist, yeah.
Like, how did this happen, you know? Like, I used to watch Tom Segura at the Comedy Zone here in Charlotte, and now he's playing arenas. And I was like, how the hell did this happen? And, you know, he was on Raw, too. Like, Burt Kreischer's another, yeah. Like, all these guys... All these weird Netflix celebrities, which to Netflix's credit, they do push them very hard.
They do.
So, you know, it's like they may not be important to you,
and
but...
Kreischer's gotten big of all those guys. He's gotten really big. Again, I think there's still a lot of people who don't know who the other ones we mentioned are.
Oh, sure.
Some of it came from... The 2020, not to get into politics too much, the 2024 election cycle, these guys were, even if they're kind of waning a little bit in that, they were seen as the pro-Trump comedians. So, like, they were propped up by that world, as opposed to, you know, your Bill Maher, your Jon Stewart, your, you know, John Oliver, those types, you know, pretty much all the, you know, late night hosts and all that.
Yeah, true.
Being incredibly liberal, of course.
Yeah, and then... Well, yes, but then it's also funny how all of them, like, show up for wrestling now.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've been a wrestler. It's kind of like going back to the tying in with the movie people. I've been a giant nerd. I used to read all the graphic novels. One, if somebody who reads comics says, I used to read the graphic novels, you didn't read comics. If you read comic books, you read them every week, every month as they came out. You didn't wait for the graphic novel. So right there, that's always a tell that they're liars.
Just and so I know nothing about that world. So.
Yes. So basically, it used the old
I'm
days.
I'm a different kind of nerd.
Yeah, the old days, it used to be, you got, you know, a year's worth of issues. You put them in a trade. They were called trade paperbacks. They weren't called graphic novels. Like Watchmen was not a graphic novel. That was a year-long miniseries. Now, they did have graphic novels that were totally new, totally separate from the monthly sales. Then it just became, well, when we collect them, now they're called graphic novels. So, in case you ever wondered. So, but anyone who says, yeah, I'm a big comic nerd, I used to read the graphic novels, they're liars. Flat out. So, or they're actors. So they're being, you know, paid to act like they were. So every once in a while you get some nerds, though. Like Henry Cavill talking about his Warhammer stuff. That's real nerd stuff. So anyways, back to Raw. But yeah, they've got three. So we have the World Heavyweight Championship, the Women's Intercontinental Championship, and then the Women's Tag Team titles. So the Women's Tag Team titles of the three seems to be the one that's kind of out of the blue to me. And the only reason I'm saying that is we had that segment weeks ago where all of the women's tag, like different tag teams were in the ring together. And it just seemed like there was going to be some sort of four-way or some sort of multi-person match for the titles. Yeah,
there were six teams involved in that.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I thought maybe that they were going to go really big and do like a big ladder match on, you know, for it's you know, in maybe this first Raw that you're, no, it's just,
yeah,
you know, the you know, rematch, you know, a match we've seen before, except this time the tag titles are on the line.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that possibility is still on the table, though.
I mentioned last week they could put all six teams in the Elimination Chamber if they wanted to and keep dragging this out because they seem to have multiple combinations of singles and tag matches they can do with these women to fill time.
Yes. Well, you also have Royal Rumble coming up, so you could have, you know, the women in a ladder match too.
No, you didn't. So
you could.
They all got to be in the Rumble itself.
Oh, that's very true. That's very true. It's all
got to get in the Rumble itself, of course. Then they'll, you know, have conflict there. No, it's, as I said it before, it's the SmackDown Tag Team Division, except people actually care.
Yes, funny how that works, huh? It's funny when you put your stars, or you create the stars in your tag title. I mean, because really, Kairi Sane wasn't exactly a whole lot. She was just the third member of whatever, you know, triumvirate she was in. And now, you know, people are waiting for her to, like, tell Asuka to, you know, cram it or whatever. I don't know about that.
It's still a weird dynamic.
Yes.
Because her facial expressions have gotten way too cartoonish, I think.
Yeah, I liked the Pirate Princess, and then when she was just bad. That's just me personally. And that's the return I keep hoping for. But every time it seems like she's like, you know, meeting up with Asuka's energy, that it's kind of a step back. And now she's just like placating or like kowtowing to Asuka, which, you know, Asuka's the alpha, so okay. But and I still love Asuka.
Yes, Asuka's great. Asuka's
she fantastic. Can't do any. She can do no wrong in my eyes. So, she's one of the ones. I know this will come across weird or wrong, but she can speak that broken English that a lot of the Japanese wrestlers have, and it still comes off as intimidating.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. 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 It doesn't sound like a bad comedy routine. No. Mm-mm.
It sounds like I decided to let you know what
she's threatening.
Saying.
I mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
But it's also, honestly, in my eyes, that woman can do no wrong. So,
yeah.
I guess this is the conundrum for me with this match is this, like, it's got to be the end or it has to lead to something bigger.
I think, because again, no. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what that is because I think you do need to get all, you know, do something big with all the teams involved.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the teams, the personalities, the characters. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, for God's sake, Charlotte.
You can drag this out for a while longer. I mean, I know Elimination Chamber is like 2 months away, but still, as we're sitting here, or I think it is like February 28th or something, you know. But again, there's so many combinations you can do, so many things you can do. I mean, do the titles change hands multiple times even before they do the big multiple match, multiple team match too? You can do that. You can have titles that we've established. So many of these titles, you know, with long reigns, we can hot potato this thing.
Yeah, because it seems like, I don't know, is WrestleMania out of the question to have the big blow-off between them all at WrestleMania? Or is that too many people being tied up for one match?
It might be too many people tied up for one match, and it's still 4 months away.
Yeah.
Almost 4 months away.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine if in April, you know, Rhea and Asuka having yet another verbal exchange. Like, oh yeah, we saw this back in February, ladies, you know. But I mean, but you add in Nia, Lash, Charlotte, and Alexa. Who am I missing? I'm missing some. Oh, Bailey and Live Valkyra. Like
of Judgment Day, two members of the Judgment Day. Although it's a little wonky which two it'll actually be.
Yeah, can we do a quick?
I do think it'll end up being back with Raquel and Roxanne, with Liv going after the women's title.
I think that's where we'll end up. Can we do a quick aside? So, what did you think of that match on Monday with Nikki, Raquel, and Stephanie Vaquer?
I thought Stephanie Vaquer did a great job keeping it together.
I rewatched it because I kind of looked through rose-colored glasses or whatever, and watched it on the second view. I was like, this isn't that great. Like, and I got... I'm just going to say it again. It's like, okay, I think I even said it in the chat. Thank you, Nikki. I hope you enjoyed your run. Here's your coffee and flowers, and just please, that's enough. Like, enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting all the blame on her, but I'm putting a substantial amount of it on. Like, one of these is not like the other. And, like, Raquel couldn't even work as, like, the big woman in this. It was weird. She's been wrestling so much as, like, you know, the giant killer, right? And in this one, she just felt like it was a pretty big step back to the beginning of the year when she was just another wrestler. That's how it felt. And then even like Stephanie Vaquer just kind of got lost to me in this one. She won great, but it wasn't like a dominant victory or anything. Or, like, one that made her look better, I guess.
No. Yeah, she was able to have a number of strong matches, you know, before she was champion. Obviously, the match with Io Sky where she won the title. She is having to carry a lot of dead weight, you know, since then. And, yeah, it'd be good to be good to see her, you know, out of this completely.
Mm-hmm.
Away from both of these, because Raquel's improved, but she's still not a great singles wrestler under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki's washed up, of course. And yeah, you know, going to a singles feud with Liv Morgan, that'll still be far better than what she's been doing.
Yeah. All right. So, do you think Stephanie Vaquer can handle a Liv Morgan feud, because the crowd doesn't really want to boo Liv Morgan? Do you think Stephanie's place is solidified enough that
I think she's solidified. I think that the crowd's really got into her quickly and have stayed with her. Yeah. I mean, the entrance, the look, the devil's kiss, All of it, you know, when she does this. When she does this corkscrew off the top, corkscrew splash from the top, that's doesn't even do it every match. She only finishes off her opponents with that, like, in mm-hmm. big matches. I like that.
Yeah, well, yes, that's why I wish more people would do that, but, you know, you can just get dropped on your head every match and not matter. But, anyways, I was just curious about that. Yeah, I thought the match was better last night. When I watched it again today, I was like, I think I was being too generous. So, but anyways, then we got the Intercontinental match, women's Intercontinental title, excuse me. I never saw this coming. Like, an actually compelling feud between Maxine and Becky Lynch.
Yeah. No, I did not. You know what? I am willing to admit when I'm completely wrong about someone, and I'm been completely wrong about Maxine Dupri. The way that they've handled her has been fantastic. And now still, I don't feel like she still didn't get like the overwhelming pop on entrance.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see, obviously we've said, you can see the improvement. You can see how hard she's worked. And there is something about, it's the weirdest thing in the world, her as an underdog story. You know, finally skinny blonde white women are getting a chance in this world.
I was expecting
But
that.
In today's modern wrestling, it is an underdog story. It's crazy as it sounds.
Yeah, and especially because of, was it Madison Square Garden that they booed her? Or was that where they cheered her for some? Or
I think they well they cheered. Well, that was where she won. So they cheered the win. They, you know.
Well, where were they? Where, like, it was a house show and they were booing her because they, like, she was so bad. And that seemed like, it was funny because it seemed like from there it was the catalyst for her. I'll use air quotes, improvement. Like, I don't know if it lit a fire under her, if it lit a fire under management, if it lit a fire under her fellow wrestlers to be like, nah, screw these people. And we're going to make sure you give everything. Or, you know, I'd like to think it was something along those lines because I remember the backlash against people booing, especially from, you know, the wrestlers. And it's like, well, we have eyes, you know? We know what we, like, we as fans know what we don't like, and we can see, we've talked about it plenty of times on here. You can't be below average anymore and be on TV. You can't. You're going to get eaten alive even by the most casual of people. They can see it. And ever since, it's been a steady uphill.
Yeah. And she seems very well liked by her peers. You see it in a lot of the interviews people do, the backstage segments. She seems very well liked. You know, I'm presuming, you know, I mean, obviously not more than presuming, you know, Natalia taking her under her wing is basically a shoot, you know, and how hard, you know, how much she gets out of those training sessions. And, you know, that, again, she's very well liked by her peers. So they're willing to go out and give her a lot. I mean, Becky was giving, even in those first matches that ended on a countout and a disqualification, you know, you saw, you know, her getting more and more advantage in each match, and you know, Becky's selling, Becky's bumping. Yeah, and then finally the match where she won, and now we've built towards the rematch. And that's an interesting question of what exactly we see here. Does Becky Lynch tap out? She does not need the Intercontinental title back.
No.
We already see that creates a problem. You know, when someone who's that big of a star holds the secondary title, and especially in the women's division.
But isn't that kind of a convergence of stories, though? Because the big story right now is Gunther just constantly reminding everyone John Cena tapped like a bitch, which is the stupidest thing, but it's just funny. But that would be
he's the most evil person on the planet for pointing out that he won a wrestling match clean in the middle.
Yeah, I know, but that's gonna turn eventually. You know that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's inevitable. So they're gonna have to really toe that line with him. He keeps saying it, and people are like, "This arrogant jerk off who always wins." Hey, I like you. You know, that's what happens. Look at The Rock. Steve Austin was the same way. You know, but so. We talked about last week how hard it is to just be a bad guy. And, I mean, if Gunther wrestles boring, what some people consider, maybe that can do it. But it just seems to me like it'd be the same story. Like, Becky gave up. Well, I guess she's a bad guy, so we have that twist on it. But It does seem like that's what should happen, though, right?
What are you saying? That Becky going face after this? Becky
no.
going back to face after this?
No, that Becky should tap and then...
She... Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then where do you go?
Like... Well, she just kind of... She goes on her... Continues on her spiral. We get one of our once in a blue moon AJ Lee, you know, appearances. We finally get that singles match out of the way. Maybe Becky actually does wrestle referee Jessica Carr. I mean, they're moving in that direction.
I think that's been too subtle, though.
They dropped it because Becky disappeared for all those weeks, so it's kind of been dropped. The whole her thing of her being mad at this single referee for all of her problems. Yeah, it got dropped a little bit.
Yeah, so
I imagine that Jessica Carr will end up being the referee during the next match. Yeah, and then
you're probably
I mean eventually Becky does work her way back in title,
but
in title contention as well.
Yeah. The other thing, though, is didn't it seem like Jay Lee and Becky never went anywhere? Outside of that one interaction in the match, then AJ Lee came down and, you know, cost Becky the title. And that's been it. Really, AJ Lee hasn't been seen... too much sense, right?
She was in War Games.
Yeah, and then that's it. So,
yeah. I'm not sure completely what the deal is there. No.
Yeah.
That's never really been explained.
Unless AJ Lee's like, hey, I've been out of this for a while. I'm done taking bumps. That was fun. Thank you. Thank you for the Legends deal and the money I'm going to make off that. You know?
Well, yeah. It could be that we might never get her in a singles match. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about that today. Like, wait, whatever happened to this feud? I have what are they called? Like, it doesn't matter. It just pops up in my head out of the blue for no reason. So anyways, it just seemed like that feud is where it was supposed to go, which is why I'm thinking Becky actually wins. Somehow Becky wins it, and then it turns into her and AJ Lee down the road somehow. And maybe that's part of the deal with AJ coming back. She wins the Intercontinental title.
See, I think you can do that without the Intercontinental title. You can do that without the Intercontinental title. Maxine Dupree can continue to work the mid-card.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're not wrong.
It's a mid-card title. You just let it be a mid-card title. Things got weird all that time Becky had the title
Well, I'm not saying I don't disagree with you. I'm just trying to look at it from their point of view. Like, what would sell the most? Like, what, in their eyes or their minds, what would sell the most? AJ Lee versus Becky for the women's Intercontinental title, a title AJ Lee's never had before. You know,
you could do it there. Yeah, I could see that.
But I agree with you.
But then what happens to Maxine Dupree? Like, then it was a fluke, and she's right back where she started.
I don't mean this as an insult to Carmella at all. I get Carmella vibes a little bit out of this. Because remember, Carmella had that really good match with her and Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
And then that was it. It didn't go anywhere else. And I'm hoping that the same thing isn't like this for Maxine Dupree because, I mean, let's face it, Sol Ruka's coming to the main roster. There's got to be more women coming to the main roster. Some people got to go. And we've seen just because someone's in a story right now and their trajectory's trajectory's getting higher doesn't mean they ain't getting, you know, pushed aside for somebody else.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm sure once we get past WrestleMania that we'll see some releases, but I'm not sure we're at that point that someone needs to go.
Yeah.
Especially with SmackDown in the state it's in. SmackDown needs new people, but it doesn't really need to lose anybody either.
No, especially with 3 hours coming up. No.
Yeah.
And it's a topic of a different show, but they've got to make we were talking about the differences between Vince and like Hunter and what like TKO and all this. The amount of long matches compared to more matches, I think there's got to be a happy medium that can be changed and addressed.
Yeah, because that was one of the problems with that triple threat women's match last night. It was too damn long. Three commercial breaks, for God's sakes.
Yes. Yep. I agree with you. Except I don't get commercials. So, but it does go dark. And it's funny. It does go dark, and sometimes it goes back to the match. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I'll get commercials for WWE stuff or whatever they decide to show. So, well, I mean, but the Netflix ones have other stuff. So, anyways. And then, of course, we have what was probably the big segment of the night on Raw in general. Braun and Punk again. And I said it in the chat, I'm still sticking to it. Braun needs to win. Braun should win. In my view, Braun should win this.
I'm leaning that way, but I'm also not thinking that's what's going to happen.
I'm not thinking that's what happens either, no.
I think since it's, this big episode of Raw, referees down, Vision's all on Punk, and who saves the day, because it's a big episode of Raw, and because the Royal Rumble's in 4 weeks, Roman Reigns.
See, maybe this is just me reading too much into things. Part of me thinks Seth is coming back for WrestleMania.
I think there's a very good chance of that.
He's been everywhere the last few weeks.
Yes, he has.
He's on Netflix football. He's been over here. He's been over here. And
he is showing no ill effects of a tricep surgery or whatever.
I thought it was shoulder.
Shoulder, whatever, yeah. He's showing no ill effects. I mean, granted, that the most physical thing he did was pick up a slab of prime rib, but there's just nothing. But yeah. He doesn't seem like someone who's that far away from being back.
Right, and this ties into Austin Theory. I don't think Theory's actually. I'm with everyone else. I don't think he's actually with Paul Heyman and them. I get the feeling this is a Seth thing. Because if you watched his body language on Monday, when some people were talking, he was just staring daggers at him.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he doesn't. He doesn't seem to be on board. Like, he was looking at Braun. I'm so Braun Strowman. Jesus Christ. He was staring at Braun Breaker, not with like, yeah, I'm part of the team, but like contempt. There was like, he was doing the scowl while Braun was talking. And then he has a match and Logan Paul costs him the match, which was just weird. Like, that was stupid. I get the feeling he's part of Seth's crew and there's going to be some sort of little warfare between them. That's just my idea.
Okay.
And I know others have the same idea, but I'm not buying all this stuff all of a sudden. It's weird.
Hmm. Well, yeah, because Austin Theory is just not fitting in with the group.
No.
You said it. He's doing this weird, brooding thing while everyone else is all being all arrogant and cocky and all smiles. Yeah, it's not fitting. And I guess that's could be a reason why. Other than someone just told him, it's better than somebody told him to act that way because he's genuinely part of the Vision.
Right. Yeah.
He's not fitting in with the group. He's not. He's not laughing with them. He's not joking with them. He's just staring off. All serious. And it's like it's. I mean, I don't think I'll ever be a fan. So, I don't get why he's getting this spot. I don't.
Yeah,
he was a Vince guy. He was a Vince guy they gave up on. I don't understand what the idea is here.
I liked him in Evolve, and I think, and I've said this before, I think my Vision or my thought process got a little blurred because the Evolve era when he was it, I mean, even Josh Briggs, he was great then too. But it's like, oh, these are small fish in a small pond. And then you get them around people with big personalities, big talking ability, charisma, all that. You're like, oh, okay. You know, you're the Oscar winning actor at the community theater. That's what Evolve was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to see it now too, but it's, I mean, maybe it's all part of it. And you know what? Maybe they messed up. Because remember when he was part of Johnny Gargano's group, The Way in NXT? Yeah. He kind of worked as like the goofy frat dumb guy. And ever since then, they've just been like, no, that's not how he is. Like, well, I mean, you want characters, don't you? But yeah, it just doesn't seem to mesh right. And I just wonder, how this ties back to Seth is, does Seth come in and cost Braun the title? Wouldn't that be a big event for the 1 year anniversary if Seth actually comes in?
It could be that, yeah.
I guess that's my way out, but at the same time, God, maybe he stomps both Punk and Braun Breaker. That way he's not helping Punk at all.
Yeah.
So now that was my thought. That's how I thought it would that this is actually going to end. So although I do think the way they're doing it, he's been holding his own in promos. I mean, Braun's shown.
He is 100%. He knocked it out of the park again, right to Punk's face. Which yeah. That's different than just doing than just doing it to the wind, basically.
Yes. And I thought Punk's rebuttal was pretty good too. He didn't bury him.
Punk's was good. CM Punk, good promo. Yeah. Very shocking, yeah.
Yeah, and oh yeah, he didn't bury him, and
no, he didn't.
So you can tell it's like, oh yeah, let's work with this guy. Because I mean, he's the one absolutely. That always wants to work with the younger talent, right? So he says.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah.
So
they're not usually male, but yeah.
Yeah, well, true. But also I guess it's a little bit easier when he's working with male talent that actually listens to him.
Yeah.
So and doesn't like, you know, constantly want to get dropped on the head all the time. But anyways, we'll get back to that later. I don't know. I thought this week's Raw was pretty effective. It went by quick. Did you see the Finn Balor promo about Dominic Mysterio?
No.
Okay, that was during
a commercial break. I don't get to see that anymore.
Yeah, so he talked about how Dom's out indefinitely, which I guess is 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Seems to like in reality he's not going to be gone long enough. They're not going to worry about the Intercontinental title or anything. Thankfully.
Yeah, and then one of the parts of the show that did make me laugh. El Grande Americano shows up. Oh my gosh, who was he talking to? Who was he having a face to face with backstage?
Wasn't it AJ and Dragon Lee?
Yes. He's talking to them. Yeah. And then, by the way, that's very clearly, the other guy is very clearly Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
It finally became clear yesterday.
Yeah. He has undergone something of a body transformation.
Yeah.
And not a good one.
He got really ripped for a while, and it's almost like he's in a weird in-between phase now.
Yeah, I mean, it's Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, yes.
Well, for the longest time, I couldn't tell. But yesterday,
no, because I see up. People say it, and I'm just like, it doesn't look like that.
Unless that was just happened to be him last night. Who knows?
I mean, I think it's been them the whole time, I guess.
Yeah.
These outfits just make them look like tiny, tiny men, even more than usual.
But then, okay, so Grande's talking. Did you see who's in the background?
No, I didn't. I did miss that part.
The Creeds are in the background.
Okay, well.
So it's rumored Chad Gable's coming back soon.
Well, yeah, that's good news.
And this, I know we didn't talk about this one before the show, but when Chad Gable comes back, what do they possibly do with this El Grande Americano thing?
Where we have two El Grande Americanos.
Yeah, because I was thinking,
and you build them a mask match.
But and Chad's got to lose, right? Because El Grande is huge in AAA.
Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah, Chad Gable got injured at the very wrong time.
Yeah.
For that.
It
would have been him.
Well, it would have, but what got this, well, Ludwig, I will just make it easier, Ludwig over is he speaks Spanish.
Yes.
And he's saying, Chad can't do that.
No.
So,
Kaiser started. Kaiser started to make it his own, and it is definitely played better in AAA, of course.
Yeah.
Where he's basically about to become a baby.
Well, after that last event, he kind of has to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he shook Ray's hand, and
yeah, it's like he's getting he if whatever the next big AAA show is, it looks like he might get the title shot against Dominic.
Yeah. So it's wild that this one trick pony of a gimmick can be what it is in another country. Like over here, everyone was hemming and hawing about it. Oh my God, here we go again. And the Mexican people are like, hell yeah, this guy rules. So
yeah,
it just tells you, just don't listen to white people being offended. So anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh no. Can you believe they're doing that? The Mexicans like drinking their beer, eating their churros. That's the only Mexican food I could come up with. I apologize. They're like, yeah, I believe it. This guy's funny. Oh, wait a minute. He speaks Spanish? Oh, he can sing in Spanish? He knows our songs? Why would I ever boo this guy? And then the insult above all insults. Well, you know he's not really Mexican. Yeah. What's the matter with you? Like, just go back to America. Leave me alone. But I am looking forward to the Battle of the Mexicanos just to see what happens. Because you can't take it. You can't take the hood off, Ludwig. You can do it with Chad. And I really want the Creeds to be surprised when there's two El Grande Americanos.
that can be good, yeah.
So there was something else on Raw, and it just slipped my mind now, but it's fine. So we have SmackDown with Drew and Cody in a three stages of hell. Is that correct?
Yes.
What is that? Is that like the old Triple H Steve Austin match?
Yes, 2 out of 3 falls. Every fall is a different stipulation, yes.
All right.
So, it of course, it has to get to 3 falls. Like, it would anyway, but still.
Yeah, and I just... Every part of me thinks Drew should win.
Absolutely. He 100% should win.
Unless there's some catastrophic way that he loses with an out. But it's like, do you really want
him?
There
is no out at this point. There is no out for his character at this point.
Yeah.
And there's no more whining. There's nothing more he can do. He's been doing this character for 2 years. And hasn't won a world, and has only won a world title for 5 minutes. And they really play off that perfectly. You know, it was into the feud with Punk and all that and everything. Yes. He has to win it here and have some type of a reign. And as I said last week, the right finish is Randy Orton accidentally cost Cody Rhodes the match.
He's cage
match. Say if the last fall is a cage match, Randy accidentally knocks the door into Cody's head or something as he's trying to escape.
So you don't think it'd be like, you said accidentally. So yeah.
Accidentally. Yeah. I don't think you do it on purpose yet because I still think you still might want to turn Cody instead of Randy.
I don't think you can turn Randy.
You can't turn Randy. No.
I think he's just at that point in his career. He's not getting booed.
No, ever since he came back from that injury, that first really bad injury.
Yeah.
There's nothing. He's a legend. He's.
Yeah.
He's a tier below Cena in that regard.
True. But
that's still pretty damn high.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to mention from Raw was they've already, I don't know if I've sent it over or not, but they've already booked Gunther versus El Grande Americano, and I think it's in Germany. And I just went, oh no.
I'm going to the fan count of that shit.
Oh no.
What's oh no?
I don't know how you do that match because they're both going to get cheered because the German people are clearly going to know that's Ludwig under there.
Yeah.
So it's just a weird match to make. And then,
well, Ludwig is true German, and Gunther is Austrian.
Oh, that's very true. So
there's got to be some kind of a rivalry there.
Yeah. So funny. Like, you figure those two would feud eventually, but not as, I mean, it's not even a feud, but it's like,
yeah,
it's Gunther versus El Grande Americano, the Ludwig Kaiser version. Like, what? So, but anyways, going back to SmackDown, yeah. It just, if they don't pull the trigger on Drew here, even if it's for like a month reign and he loses it at Elimination Chamber, let's just go with that. I mean, they got to. Or like, what do you do if he doesn't win?
I don't know what you do with him anymore. I really don't. It's shit or get off the pot with him. There's no more whining he can do. And then there's just regression. There's just moving down the card.
Yeah, because I mean he's not nearly the age to like call it quits. Not that he he's gonna quit, right? But
yeah,
you know, it's there's still plenty of tread on the tires, if you will. So, well,
right, yes.
But it's like there's a lot of tread, but if you're just driving a Datsun, who cares? You know, like everyone wants the tires on a Ferrari. So I don't know. It's not as if like Cody's reign's bad. It just seems like they put themselves in a corner.
I would go as far as to call this reign bad. I would absolutely. He's had one opponent.
Has it really been Drew the whole time?
It's been Drew the whole time. I mean, in between they did the Seth thing. For
Crown Jewel, yeah. Or no, otherwise, yes, Night of Champions, wasn't it?
No, it's Crown Jewel. It was Crown Jewel. Crown Jewel Perth, because it wasn't in Saudi Arabia this year. But the belts had to go back to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, well, yeah, they got that whole WWE experience. You got to put them in there, man.
We're going there next year, right? We're doing WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia, aren't we?
Well, no, aren't they doing both Rumble and WrestleMania are in Saudi Arabia?
No, Royal Rumble, this year's Royal Rumble is in Saudi Arabia. We're going to this year's WrestleMania.
Oh my God! I told you I was buzzed.
No, you are.
Oh my God! Oh my God! I thought it's been a pretty good show so far too.
Yeah, so, no.
I need to start drinking before shows again.
Let's just keep going. This is what the people want to hear.
Yeah, but I was like, I need to start drinking before shows again, or during. Yes, you do. One of the two. God, yeah, those old tequila or Jaeger shows. God damn. Ugh. Anyways, we are going to WrestleMania this year. My bad. So, I thought that sounded weird when I said it. I'm like, there's no way they gave the Saudis Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. But that's also not that far out of the realm of possibility when it's TKO.
There are people who think that after WrestleMania 2027, every WrestleMania is going to end up in Saudi Arabia.
God, can you imagine that?
I couldn't even imagine.
Have you ever met someone who actually was like, "Oh, it's Riyadh season"? No, like never.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long is Riyadh season, by the way? They're constantly advertising it. Like, it'd be like putting Christmas or holiday season.
I think it goes from September to March or something crazy.
Oh,
like
is it really that long? Oh, all right. It's really that long. Never mind.
Then that means that WrestleMania will be out of Riyadh season.
But it's just another reason to go. You know, we
should do that. Supposedly, some of those resorts there for Western tourists are pretty damn nice.
Oh, the people I've listened to, I don't know, have said, like Americans get treated great over there.
Oh yeah, because remember when they had all the WWE women, you know, in bikinis over there, in one of those resorts that Westerners can live by, you know, Western rules and not the Sharia law or whatever.
Oh
yeah,
okay. No, I'm still not gonna go.
I mean, I know.
I mean, I didn't even go to Colorado. You know, well, yeah, I've been to Tennessee. I'm trying to think of a state close. I haven't even been to Oklahoma. I mean, Colorado's even further than that. So, I think I need to get out to the Grand Canyon before I travel overseas to something else. But by being fair, it does look pretty nice over there. So, you know, it looks pretty cool. Anyways, totally off subject there. But, yeah. Now, that's the only match that's booked for next Friday, right? I don't think they've...
For the 9th, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they've announced anything else.
Well, no, because, well, that's going to... That's going to be a... That's, that match is probably going to take up the entire last hour.
You would think, I yes. Imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you'd think, yes. So... Stranger Things have happened. Get it? It's Monday. So, and by the way, are you watching Stranger Things? Have you ever watched it?
Yeah. I'll make time to watch it tomorrow. It's not like I'm gonna watch Ryan Seacrest for 4 hours or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, we'll probably end
not up like I'm gonna watch Dynamite. First. I mean, I'm prioritize Dynamite over the last episode of Stranger Things.
Yeah, true. Well, since you mentioned Dynamite, let's talk about AEW for a little bit.
Yes, let's talk about it.
They had a pay per view this weekend, and yes. MJF won. John Moxley won the Continental Classic, so now we have even more title belts again.
Yes, because that's been split, yeah.
And Kyle Fletcher almost died, which is the popular narrative on that.
Well, let's just say everything we just talked about that's coming up on Raw and SmackDown over the next 2 weeks, or should say, you know, next week.
Mm-hmm.
Has way more build and anticipation than anything and excitement than anything on that AEW pay-per-view had. Or probably the last three AEW pay-per-views have had. AEW is now an example of the what the bad or the bad scenario where you hotshot your fucking title. Absolutely no point to Samoa Joe. We mentioned it last week. If MJF was the odds-on favorite to walk out of World's End with the championship, then why did Samoa Joe win the title in the first place? Why didn't MJF just win the title from Hangman?
Well,
why is that title changing hands 2 pay-per-views in a row?
Well, apparently they didn't want MJF beating Hangman for the title. That's what Dave Meltzer was saying. And I just went, why not?
And him and Alvarez didn't question that at all.
Well, no, it's AEW. Or do they?
Because sometimes Alvarez does, but...
No, and I just went, why? But then someone pointed out, well, Joe beat MJF for the title. And I just went, well, so?
2 years ago, yes.
Like, so what? And the reason I say so what is,
World's End, I guess. I guess there's some symmetry there with, you know, the two title changes between... Samoa Joe and MJF happening at World's End within 2 years of each other.
Sure, but the thing is, this my problem with all of this is AEW has made a point of you lose your title, you don't automatically get a rematch.
Right.
So if MJF beats Hangman Page, that just plays into their usual booking, their usual rules. Like even like Joe getting another another match with Hangman was because Hangman wanted it, you know, by storyline. So I just don't see what the big deal was with MJF beating Hangman. Like I'm agreeing with you. Like why go through all this? Because it made Hangman's like title win, which is their biggest moment of the year, by the way, was Hangman overcoming. They just rendered it moot, 2-3 months later?
It's more than that, maybe 4 months.
It certainly seems shorter because, as usual, Hangman's Lex Luger with a title.
Yes.
You know? So, I don't know. It just didn't seem, I guess, inserting MJF, but they still wanted to be a bad guy. Or he wants to be a bad guy. It's like, well, you went through, you overcame your shortcomings or whatever. You know, you picked your spot ahead of time instead of just, you know, running down the ring. And then you won. Well, that's good guy stuff. So, I don't know.
And oh my God, did I hate that segment last Wednesday on Dynamite.
Oh, where he just berated everybody? Or...
When Hangman and Swerve tortured MJF.
Oh yeah.
And use all that I hate to call it, but all the woke talk and all this, like, oh, it was so cringeworthy.
Well, yes.
And they, you know, choked out a man, you know, 2-on-1.
Right.
And he's supposed to be the heel.
Yeah. And then he wins.
And then he won clean, yes. He beat three guys in one night, in one match. Clean as a whistle to be the champion.
Yep. So now MJF is your AEW champion. I'm actually trying to do this from memory, so just bear with me a second, okay? So you have, at the top is MJF as your champion. Ricochet is your national champion, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okada is the international champion.
Yes, which puts him above Ricochet.
Just stop. just cut it out. I'm not trying to put him in order. John Moxley is the continental champion. So where's he on this list? Is he third or third, second?
Fourth, maybe? I haven't gotten to the TNT championship
yet. I was getting there. Mark Briscoe's the TNT champion.
Five men's singles championships.
Is it? Well, no, that was five. That's it? It's a five?
Yeah, five men's singles championship in one
okay.
company, yeah.
Okay, all right.
It doesn't even have like a brand split or anything.
So yeah, so there you go. I'm confused.
And that's not even factoring in the Ring of Honor title, any of
them. I stopped for a reason.
Takeshita walking around with the IWGP championship. And
you know, my thing here, and since you mentioned the Ring of Honor stuff, Bandido's the Ring of Honor champion. Bandido has been probably, arguably, their best wrestler this year. That dude's great. Mm. And he's going to lose to MJF on Wednesday.
No. I think 2 weeks.
Oh, is it 2 weeks? Okay.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks. I think it's 2 weeks away. Yeah, but yeah, he's gonna lose. Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta
get to those singles. MJF versus Hangman. MJF versus Swerve. Those are the big matches.
But haven't we already seen MJF and Hangman? I think yes. We've even had Swerve, right?
I don't think they've done Swerve and MJF. That might actually be new.
Okay, well, that's fine. You can't have Joe again. Like, no, enough of that. Joe.
Enough of Joe.
As much as I like Joe, it's time for the sidestep.
It's over. It's over, yeah.
But then also, like, I know it just seems like they're just holding out hope Ospreay can come back and he can beat him in Wembley next year. Because aren't they going back to Wembley for All Out? Or All In, excuse me?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
So... You know, yeah. That's what it seems like. This is the playoff, so you got to get to what are they? That's usually August, right? The end of August, or is that the beginning of September?
It was July this year, of course, in Texas. But
true,
yeah, it was in August, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just what it seems like. That's where this is going, and if they can drag it out, but. The real story that came from this, and I mentioned this before, so MJF won, great. John Moxley won the Continental title beating, or the Continental Classic beating Okada, who beat, who did Okada beat? Oh, Takeshita, excuse me, with a screwdriver. And then Moxley beat Kyle Fletcher. And the big point or the big talking point from that match is almost like a dragon sleeper into a suplex off the top rope. And Kyle Fletcher legitimately came down on his head. And to Moxley's credit, he had him stabilized very well. I don't think he was supposed to come down on his head, but his neck wasn't going anywhere. John Moxley had his arm under his chin, you know, as much as you can.
Oh, no, I think it was completely on purpose to land on his head.
Do you really?
I think it was
completely
on purpose. That's what these guys do now. That's the latest evolution of wrestling. You think this shit's fake? Watch this. Because they're all insecure in what they're doing for a living.
Well, that's what it kind of seems like it's getting to. Like, I know, like, I can't... I love Gunther and Sheamus and Drew, like, those matches where they're hitting each other. Like, I know wrestling's supposed to be the illusion. It's, yeah, you make contact, but it's not supposed to hurt. So I understand the Bret Hart synopsis there, you know?
I do, but hit people hard in safe places.
Exactly.
You're not gonna...
Yeah, which they did. They did in the old days.
When Gunther powerbombs someone, he's very safe.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's no slop. It is flat.
He's done the dragon suplex before or something along those lines, right? But he's usually pretty good, and the guy usually rolls with it, and it's fine.
Right. Well, it's also the worker too, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably why he's got Triple H's trust and being given, you know, all the opportunities he has. That's part of it, I'm sure. But to go back, it's an increasing amount of times. And yes, WWE does drop people on their head. A lot of the times, it looks like a mistake. That Braun Breaker set part in War Games.
Oh, yeah. That was supposed to happen. That was not on purpose. No.
But I see, and I guess this is just going to be calling out AEW. And not all of them. Because, you know, some people don't. But, I mean, look at Darby Allin. As much as I love his matches, look at what he does. You got to stop.
Yeah, you absolutely have to stop at some point.
He won't. I think Dave Meltzer even said he's never going to. Well, but I've seen, like, they love dropping people on their head. They love doing this stuff. They love using, like, dangerous spots. Weird angles, running into stuff. Well, Steven Regal, a respected veteran, I would gather, or William Regal, if you want to use that name, he didn't exactly call out Kyle Fletcher because there was another spot in World's End with Chris Statlander and, Jamie Hayter. Another brutal back of your neck, top of your head, back of your head spot in their match. And he's right with saying, hey guys, like, you know, don't do this. Just as an old guy who didn't really take a whole lot of bumps badly, it's, you know, I got pain, blah blah blah, this and this. And the thing is he's right, but it doesn't. It seems like the older guys in AEW have taken his words and been like, yeah. So, you know, you can see the veteran presence, if you will, of AEW not coming to his defense, not agreeing with him. Well, I guess agreeing with him without saying, yeah, this guy's right. Stop doing this stuff. I've seen some well-reasoned arguments for it, and then I just see Kyle Fletcher's response today of, well, good news is we're all going to die someday. I'm hoping that's just a troll job and he's not that much of a dumbass.
Yeah. No.
But that's the big takeaway from AEW's World's End pay-per-view. People, they promoted, AEW promoted that bump on all of their socials. Twice over on Instagram, by the way. Showcasing a move where a grown man drops another grown man on his head as if that's okay. I don't get it. I don't get the promotion of it.
This is what happens when a 90s message board nerd who watched those Misawa Kobashi matches is now in control of the number two promotion in all of wrestling.
Yeah. You got to be able to say no. Like, don't do that anymore. Fine them, whatever. There is a responsibility you have to make sure these guys aren't going to kill themselves. But I guess it gets into that argument.
One of the guys I just mentioned died in the ring from this shit.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah. it,
And you know what? If it happened to Kyle Fletcher, I'd feel bad. But he's also not important enough for me to think, oh my God, I lost one of my favorite wrestlers. I'd move on pretty quickly if I'm being honest.
Well, I think I know what you mean. At the same time, somebody getting seriously hurt inside the wrestling ring is not the kind of publicity they want.
No, especially with all the things going on with, you know, who's going to own the stations and the streamer that they're on.
That's exactly where I was going with that.
Yeah.
You want no eyes on you other than the eyes of your consumers. And then the eyes of the higher-ups, because your ratings are going up. Your revenue is going up so that, you know, you can see, oh, us putting money into this product is worthwhile. The second someone gets paralyzed on live TV, they're in big trouble. And not because it happened. Well, I'm sorry. It'll be because it happened, but what will also be like detrimental is everyone, and I do mean news media in this case, will just go through hours of footage of all the dangerous stuff they've done. And it'll be used against them, and a case will be made, and Time Warner will be like, hey, nah, we don't want the smoke. We're trying to like sell. You know, and hell, even if they sell to Paramount, or they sell to Netflix, I guess the TV stations aren't affected. But
yeah, well, if it's Netflix, they're not affected. Paramount wants the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Paramount wants the whole thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So
all the cable networks.
Yeah, it's just you. Tony Khan has a responsibility to his employees, whether he wants to call them employees or independent contractors, which no one ever calls him out for that, by the way. He's got a responsibility to these guys, especially someone like Kyle Fletcher. Was he 26, 27, a young guy?
Yeah.
That you clearly have put, you know, strapped something to him to be put him in all these situations to have, what, a couple years left because his dumbass keeps doing these risky moves?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm trying to think, like, the guys that they said that about all those years ago, I guess Mick Foley did retire somewhat early.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Hardy's still going.
Yeah, somehow, right?
Somehow he's still going, yeah. Just trying to think. Have any of those guys who were said you'll be in a wheelchair by the time you're 30 actually ended up in a wheelchair by the time they're 30?
No, not really.
Other than maybe the Dynamite Kid, maybe a little after 30.
Yeah, I don't really speak about Jeff Hardy much, but there is also something about not being clear-headed and feeling pain that will probably help you.
Yeah.
Because if you ever, like, look at it this way, and I guess in Jeff's case, it's been, you know, it's shown, the footage is there. He's been out of his mind in the ring before. And I'm not saying he was all the time, or maybe that was the only
incident.
Right,
no.
But
there's one known incident, yeah.
Yeah, but being loose and taking big bumps, including being drunk behind the wheel of a car, which I'm not saying, I'm just using this as like an equation. When you have a drunk driving accident, usually the guy that's drunk isn't dead. Their body's just loose. So you're not taking like the full brunt because your body's not tensing up. So there's something to be said for that, especially like, you know, hey, it's not like the 90s are that far away. Late 90s, early 2000s, where a lot of these guys are partying the fuck up.
Yeah. And today's wrestlers supposedly don't do that.
Yeah. So
they're not. So certain drugs preserve you.
Yeah. And they also prevent you from feeling the pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can numb yourself to the point of almost permanently not feeling stuff. Doesn't mean something's not wrong. And it's like, I don't wish that upon anyone, you know?
No, of course not. No, I don't wish
that. But it's also like, get your act together. And it's like, I know there's the whole adage, you know, do it while you're young. How about you don't? How about you learn to work a match so that you don't have to take these gigantic bumps because you don't know how to do anything else? That would be one thing to try.
Speaking of having to work a match, boy, am I interested to see what Jon Moxley's matches are going to look like on under Continental Rules or whatever. He's essentially going to have wrestling matches.
Yes.
I'm kind of intrigued.
No one's really talking about him becoming kind of solid again.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he has.
So
I'll give it to him. Yeah.
He's not doing I'm busting myself up immediately. Although he did that Claudio match, but I thought that was actually hard way. I don't think that was on purpose.
That might have been hard way. Yeah. Yeah, they were trying to have a stiff match. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's with him, he's like the biggest conundrum. I don't know what to make of him half the time anymore. And you're right. Like, to see what he can do in a wrestling match where he can't, you know, the Death Riders can't interfere. Or they all get fired. Or, I mean, is that still a thing? Or is that only for the tournament?
I think it's all Continental Championship matches, yeah.
Okay. That I wasn't sure.
I mean, so, that got muddy during the whole Unified title debacle, but...
Yeah, well...
Yeah. It's... That was so stupid. Oh, my God.
The whole thing's stupid. The Continental title means nothing, but yet it has the most stringent rules. These rules should apply for your world title, not for a belt that, you know, Brody Lee Jr. is going to carry eventually, you know, like as a 16-year-old. So, I just have a big problem with all of a sudden no one's allowed around ringside. No one's allowed to interfere. No one's allowed to cheat.
But Don Callis is allowed to be on commentary. Well, thank God that's going to stop.
Well, it won't.
Well, no. He'll still have his guys' matches, but he was on commentary for like two or three matches a show. It was bad.
Yeah, yes. Well, he's bad. But yet all wrestling fans like Channing. And it gets kind of hard to tell if they're being sincere or not. And I think Don Callis is a big one. When they're always chanting "fuck Don Callis," it's like, okay. And like they do the same thing to Wheeler Yuta. Cool. I
don't think those are good heat to me.
No, I don't think it is either. It's just something to chant, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but Jon Moxley is an actual wrestler again. Will be something to see. I don't know if he can be creative enough to get away with still cheating. Because even like that screwdriver spot with Takeshita and Okada was so stupid. Because like the referee's clearly seeing what's going on and just doesn't. Like, okay. So if that doesn't get called, well, maybe Moxley can.
Well, who was the referee? Was it Rick Knox or Remsburger?
It was Paul Turner, I think.
Paul Turner, he usually isn't that bad. I think so. I guess.
Oh yeah, Rick Knox. Oh god, Bryce Remsburg, just oof. But I do think it was Paul Turner though. I think. One more thing before we go, and I do want to bag this out because it deserves it. I like Orange Cassidy a lot. That absolutely cringe spot of him and Tony Storm dancing and beating people up, that's one of the worst things AEW's ever done.
I agree.
And I keep seeing how much people love it. And I went, and I think I sent that to you guys, going, are we the problem?
Like, we might be.
Are we too harsh? Because that's the dumbest shit I've seen in a long time. Where Wheeler Yuta has to walk up to him, pretend to duck down for no reason, to get kicked in the face. Like, I don't like where people stand there and let people jump on him. Now I have to accept someone just walking up and ducking their heads so they can get kicked? This is stupid. But, you know, that's the number two promotion. And that's why they will always be number two. Hey,
now, TNA's coming for them.
Hey, man, I know what you mean. I agree with you. But if you watched anything Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, day after, almost every commercial break, they were promoting TNA. So, I don't know if it's going to work.
Right. But good. Good for them.
Yeah, AMC is giving them a legitimate chance. So, like, okay. But, I think I said this in our chat. Imagine you turn on TNA Wrestling, right? And maybe they made a bunch of production changes for this first show. And your champion is Frankie Kazarian.
That better change by the end of the show.
I mean,
it has to, right? This has to be the reason, right? So they can do a title change on that show.
It has to. Now, who? I don't know. But, I mean, I know, like, Mike Santana's probably not it, right? But yeah. What would you rather see? Like, here's this old puffed out dude with doll hair that's, like, trying to be cool still. Or the guy that just kind of looks like a wrestler, you know, old, like, kind of a throwback, not polished, not like, you know, poster material, let's put it that way. You got to go with the other guy.
Didn't Nick Nemeth or Dolph Ziggler already have one of those briefcases too or something?
Oh, yeah, he does. He did it.
Why wasn't it him?
Yeah, at least you'd have a WWE guy.
Yeah.
For those people going, oh, wait a minute. That's what happened to him. Because I just saw him on Raw a few weeks ago. Or was it SmackDown? No, it was Raw. Yeah. It was Raw. But yeah, unless they've got some giant surprise planned, I can't imagine who it could be. There's not a whole lot of surprises left. But to have Frankie Kazarian as your champion on the first show, oh, boy. Just, oh, boy. Not what I would have done. So, but as they say now, it's not my company. Well, I also enjoy watching wrestling, so the more the merrier for me. But, well, that's our last show this year, right?
Yeah, it is.
We got nothing else. I guess we could have done one of those shows where we look to the future, but that would require planning. We didn't do that. So,
no.
All right, well, let's get out of here. I will say this out. Everyone have a happy new year. Hopefully wrestling continues to get big and bigger because I enjoy it. So, yeah, again, happy new year. Thank you for listening all year. Thank you for listening for as long as you have. And hopefully you keep with us next year. And I'm out of here.
Later.